Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 5, as we go through the book of Genesis. Interesting enough, Genesis covers the first 50 books of the Bible. The first 50 chapters of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis, covers at least 2,130 years of the 6,000 years of this planet called Earth. One book covers one-third of the entire existence of our history. From Adam to the flood was 1,576 years. And then the death of Jacob was around 2,130 years after Adam. We aren't adding in the life of Joseph because the book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph. And Joseph lived to be 110. The only thing that I don't know, the Bible's not clear on as far as I can find, is how old Joseph was, or Jacob was, when he had Joseph. I don't know how old Jacob was when he had Joseph. But let's just say, for argument's sake and easy math, he was 50 years old. Then the earth would be roughly, at the time of the end of Genesis, 2,200 years old. I do believe in a young earth. I do believe that the earth is around 6,000 years. It's been a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, if you are a numbers person, and I like numbers, I like math, if you're a numbers person and you want to do your own math, it was kind of fun this morning before church. I was going through with a calculator in my Bible, and I was going to the begats. And Adam was this many years old when he begat Seth, and Adam lived this long. And you can just do the math, and you can come up with about how old the earth is. And that's why we come up with the number 6,000. But we're going to look at some things this evening, in Genesis chapter 5. So let's just read it. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So the earth was 130 years old when Seth was born. And the day of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived, after he begat Cainan, 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived, after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. A common, easy name, Jared. And Mahalalel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Father, please help me this evening as I discuss the book of Genesis chapter 5. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that they'll trust you this evening. Help us to learn the importance of different things. In Jesus' name, amen. I failed to read the rest of Genesis chapter 5 because we read that this morning. I find three important things in Genesis chapter 5. The first important thing that I find is in verse number 2. Male and female created he them. I see the importance of gender. Not too often will you hear a sermon on gender, but it's important. The olden preachers used to preach on it a little bit more until people got mad about it, and now the preachers stop preaching about it, and look what's happened. Gender is important. Society wants to teach us that there is no reality in the importance of gender. Unfortunately, our children are being taught that there is no such thing as gender. Men can dress like ladies, and ladies can dress like men. Hair, attire, even makeup is all neutral gender now. Girls can do whatever a boy can do, and a boy should be able to do whatever a girl can do. Listen to me, church. God made them male and female. This is important. If God wanted to, He could have made them whatever He wanted. But He chose to make them male and female. Society is all messed up on this issue. We have been fighting a battle, as you probably are much aware, in the city of Fairmont about trying to keep men out of women's bathrooms. Well, I want to keep women out of men's bathrooms just as equally. Gender is important. The Bible very clearly tells us that God created them male and female. Now, He didn't have to go in such great detail, but He did. He knew that there would rise up a group of people that are morons, that think there's no such thing. He also wanted to make sure that he knew where we came from, because He also knew that there would be a bunch of morons that said we came from monkeys. And God wanted to make sure. You say, I don't like you using those words. What else do you want me to use? That's the kindest word that I can find. Because they are anti-God. It's not innocent. It's not just okay. They are anti-God that believe in evolution. And they are anti-God that do not believe in gender. Now, it's important. He chose male and female for four reasons. I'll give you four reasons why it's important. Number one, companionship. We are to find companionship with our spouse. I have friends that are men. I do. I like to go outdoors and do different things. I love sports. I like to watch sports with my friends. I like to play sports with my friends. I like to do different things with my friends. But I shouldn't want to be around my friends more than I'm around my spouse. It's okay to want to do things apart. I don't think that my wife and I have to do everything together. Number one, that would drive her nuts, and that would drive me bonkers. And it's not a long drive, by the way. But it's natural to want to do things together. For example, when I travel, I would prefer that my wife travel with me. Now, she doesn't ever, very seldom, get to do that. But I would prefer that she did. When I go out to eat, I never like to go out to eat alone. I do not like to go to a restaurant by myself. It makes me feel weird. I've always had a problem with it. I don't know why. So I will just go through a drive-thru if I'm by myself, because I do not like to go in and sit at a table by myself. I think people will feel sorry for me or something. Look at that poor guy over there in the corner. But I prefer to go eat with my wife. If we're going to go out to eat, I would like for her to go with me. When I go on a date, I prefer to take my wife. Isn't that a good thing? My wife and I were created for each other for companionship. But she's also my completer. She does things that I can't do. And I'll do things that she can't do. Are you saying that you can do something a woman can't do? Yep. And you're telling me a woman can do something a man can't do? Yep. We're not going to go into details, but yep. There are things that my wife does that I hate to do. She doesn't like to do them, but I hate to do them. And then I'll do things that I really don't like to do, but she hates to do them. And then I'll do things that I enjoy doing that she doesn't really like to do. And then she'll do things that she enjoys doing that I really don't like to do. We are completers. Have you ever heard the phrase opposite of tract? I think it's because they complete each other. One talks, the other likes to listen. One's outgoing, the other's quiet and a loner. One's super friendly and approachable, and the other one isn't. But what happens is they start pulling each other up. My strengths are helping Amanda, and Amanda's strengths are helping me. I haven't always been this nice. And this is true. My wife has a very sweet personality, and she is just everybody's friend, and I'm not. As a matter of fact, I scare people. I have that Barker Frau. I'm not mad about anything. I just look like I am. And when I was in Tennessee, people were afraid to come to me. But you know who they'd go to? They'd go to her. But you know, over a period of almost 20 years of marriage, you know what has happened? She has helped me be more friendly. My wife was very insecure when we got married. She would not drive in Knoxville. She wouldn't drive in Knoxville. And over the period of time and the confidence that I gave her, she'll drive to Pittsburgh now. She'll drive anywhere. She outgrew that with my help. I outgrew things with her help. We are completers. She is my companion. She is my completer. Your spouse, friend, should be your companion and should be your completer. Also, children. God intended children to be born into a married household. And by the way, only men and women can have children together. What do you know about that? See, any other kind of relationship, if it's, I hate to even say it, but if it's a man and a man, guess what? They can't have children together. And a woman and a woman, they can't have children together. They have to either adopt or have the other gender somehow involved in the process of having a child. So do you think that a homosexual lifestyle is of God? Well, no. Because one of the reasons that He made people for each other are to replenish the earth. You can't do that in a homosexual lifestyle. It goes against God. But it's important for gender. And so, companionship, completeness, children, and then coping. We help each other cope. When we have trials, we go through them together. And boy, we've had some trials. From our first ministry in Ohio, We went through that together. Through the miscarriage of our first child at the Bill Rice Ranch, we went through that together. To the stillborn twins that we had, Matthew and Micah, we went through that together. Through the death of some of her family members and through the death of some of my family members, we've done that together. We help each other cope and get through it. See, God created male and female. It's important, the importance of gender. I also see the importance of family here. You have all these begats. A lot of people don't like the begats. Oh, when I get to the begats, I get confused. Well, they're good to read. I understand that. And if you want to skip over them, I guess you can. But they're important. They're important because you get to see genealogy. Here we have the begats. God wanted us to know how our genealogy came down, how our ancestry came. And then it also helps us to determine how old the earth is. You can go from Adam having Seth to his death, and Seth having his son to his death, and you'll come up with the conclusion that the earth is roughly 6,000 years old, like I said in the beginning. And so in this chapter, I see the importance of gender, I see the importance of family, and then we get down to Enoch, and I see the importance of walking with God. It's the most important thing. We have a man that walked with God so closely that God said, "Hey, why don't you come to my house?" Friend, I want you to know, if you're here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not walking with God. Well, I believe in God. The devils believe in God. Demons believe in God. Satan himself believes in God. But none of those are going to go to heaven. Believing in God and putting your faith and trust in God are two different things. I believe that there's a God, and so I take my faith and trust, and I put that faith and trust in that God. Now I'm saved. Believe that there's a God, and that we're okay, that's not going to get it. Answer this question by yourself, to yourself, for yourself. If you were to die tonight, and God forbid that happened, but no doubt in the world this size, somebody is going to die tonight. God forbid it be any of us or our family members. But what if you were to die tonight? Could you, while dying, if I were able to ask you the question, would you go to heaven? Could you say, "Absolutely, yes, I'm going to heaven, I know it." And I say, "Why?" And you say, "Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." Could you say with 100% confidence that you would go to heaven? If you can't, you should be able to. 1 John 5:13, quoted it many a time. "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," K-N-O-W, "that you have eternal life." So you can know for sure that you have eternal life. And if you're sitting there tonight and you are not sure that you have eternal life, then you're not saved, or you need to get the assurance. Because no one should walk through life hoping they go to heaven but not knowing they go to heaven. No one. And if that's you tonight, you need to be saved. Because that's the only way that anyone's going to get to walk with God. And once you get to that point, once you get to the point where you've been saved, then I want us to walk with God. How can we walk with God? You know, if I can tell you practically how we can walk with God. But like I said this morning, there's only two people ever mentioned in the Bible that it was ever said that they walked with God. Enoch and Noah. Those are the only two. Now, there was a lot of good people out there that knew God and were... David was a man after God's own heart. He's the only one that's ever been said about that. And there's a lot of things that we could say about other men. But walking with God... if I walked as close to God as Enoch walked with God, then my life would be so different. And yours would be too. So I'm saying tonight, I don't think any of us have gotten to the point where we could sit there and say, yeah, I walk with God. He and I are tight. We're best of friends. Now I can say that that's what I want to be able to say. Be that close to God, where out of all the human beings that walk the face of the earth, God looked down and said, Enoch, I sure would like for you to come to my house and live with me, just you and me, for 3,000 years, 4,000 years. Wow. Hey. I don't believe that God would put that in the Bible, that a man could walk with God so closely. I don't believe that God would put that in the Bible if we couldn't accomplish that. I don't believe that God would put that in the Bible, that a man walked with God, if we weren't able to do the same. There's nothing more special about Enoch than you and I, except he got a lot longer years to work at it. I would like to walk with God so much that God says, you know what, just come on up with me. And then the trumpet sounds and the rapture comes. Maybe that's why the rapture takes place. Maybe there's a revival and people are walking with God. I don't know. But how important is our walk with Christ? Are we just going through the religious motion of being a Baptist? I think sometimes I do. I think sometimes I just go through the emotions of being a Christian. I'll read my Bible, I'll pray, and I'll do the things that I know to do. I'll dot my I's and cross my T's. But I think sometimes I'm missing that relationship and fellowship that I can really have with the Creator of the universe. I see the importance of gender. Girls, you should dress like girls, and guys, you should dress like guys. Girls, you should be okay with being a girl, and guys, you should be okay with being a guy. I see the importance of gender. I see the importance of family. But I see it really important that you walk with God. Because if you walk with God, your family's going to be right, and the gender thing's going to take care of itself. Because you'll know. Because you don't want to displease God. Anybody that wants to have a lifestyle outside of the bounds of what God wants is not walking with God. And so my question tonight to you believers, we that know if we were to die today, we'd go to heaven. My question to you and I, are we walking with God? And if there's places that you can improve on it, maybe a little bit more Bible reading, maybe a little bit more memorization, meditation. I was reading Stravinsky's book about memorization. He said, memorization will hide it in your head, but meditation will keep you from sin. That's good. So let me encourage you to work on memorizing Scripture. Let's work on memorizing Scripture. Let's work on walking with God. And let's see what God will do. And if you're here today and you're not saved, listen, you can't walk with God until you get saved. That's step number one. You got to be on the same. You got to have a relationship with Him.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.